Heavenly Father, we praise you for our glorious and precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who gave everything for us, who left the glories of heaven to seek us out, the good shepherd who sought for the lost sheep. Father, we know that every one of us, if we were left to ourselves, would be undone, we would be lost, we would be rightly in hell forever. And instead, we are gathered here in the name of Jesus, our glorious Savior, because of all he did for us. We are together now rejoicing in his love that will not cease. It'll never end. We will be with you forever and ever in a glorious place, a glorious home with a tremendous future. And Father, we thank you for all of these things. Thank you for the love of Jesus, like the love of a husband for a wife, seeking her out. The fact that he is this way for us is beyond comprehension, and yet it is the truth. It is amazing grace. It is love beyond compare. And we pray that as we fellowship together during this hour, worshiping you, hearing your word proclaimed, that we would be reminded of this love, of this mercy and grace. We would find comfort and encouragement in the midst of challenging times. We would be refreshed in our spirits and be ready to go out again into the world to shine as lights for Christ, to be the city on a hill that you have made us to be. We can't hide ourselves, Scripture says. A city on a hill cannot be hid. And Father, we pray that this time together will have a great and tremendous impact in each of our hearts and lives. We are grateful to you that we're here today and pray that you would bless this hour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Today is in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did to us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken to me. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write to them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner: the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting to the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things: to abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to be in your house again this morning. We thank you for each one who has come. And we pray your blessing upon each one of us, that we might truly be encouraged and strengthened and helped in our lives, our Christian lives. We pray that you'll speak to every heart and meet the need of each and every one. Lord, you know our situation. You know what's going through our minds and hearts. And we pray that you'll help us, that we might put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone, in salvation and in security. We just thank you, Lord, to know that you are in control and we can put our faith and trust in you. We do pray this morning, our Father, for the situation in Afghanistan and all that has been precipitated by certain decisions that have been made recently. And Lord, we just pray that somehow these who have served faithfully as best they know how could be rescued. And we pray for our citizens that they might be set free from this place. Lord, we ask you to especially be with this friend of Jessica's, that you might undertake for her and give her peace in her heart along with those that she is with. Lord, we pray for this family that's lost their son, 16 years old. Such a heartbreak, I'm sure, for them. I have no idea who they are, but you know. And I pray that somehow this might be used to bring someone to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, might give them comfort and strength and help in this time of their need. Lord, we know that you care. You care for each one of us, whatever our needs might be. And pray for this family that you will comfort their hearts today. And Lord, help us as a nation that we might live righteously, soberly, and godly. We pray, you said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And certainly we need you. We need you so much, Lord. So much turmoil and strife and violence and distrust that people have for one another. And these terrible diseases that are going about. Lord, would you please have mercy upon us and help us. I know, Lord, that we are sinful as a nation. There's so much that is wrong, ungodly. And it's little wonder that these things are happening. And yet we don't know what else to say except please have mercy upon us and guide us and help us. Help us as believers to be a good example to others and to seek to be witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. May your holy will be done. Thank you so much for all your love to us today. We just pray that you'll guide and help us as we look into your word, and that we might truly be encouraged as we realize that our salvation is altogether of grace, your mercy, your love, and we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn once again to Acts chapter 15. This is a very important chapter. The first council of the church at Jerusalem and making the decisions that affected all of Christianity. The first, very first one. You know, the church began, as we remember, on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the Jewish believers. Right? Everyone there, as far as we know, were Jewish people, right? And they put their faith and trust in Christ. 3,000 people saved there on the day of Pentecost, and later many, many others. But these were all Jewish. But with persecution, believers were scattered, began to reach out to other people. And as they went, they reached some of the Gentiles. And then, of course, Paul was converted, and God called him especially to go, primarily to the Gentiles as well as other people, but primarily as the apostle to the Gentiles. So with many Gentiles being saved, this presented new problems to the leadership of the church as a whole. And God had always especially worked through the Jews. All through the Old Testament, we see that, right? And God chose Abraham, and then from there it went on down throughout all of the other people. And the Jewish law was what they all expected to follow, the rules and regulations regarding Judaism. And so when Christianity came along, first of all, it was a part of Judaism, more or less, people that believed in Jesus, but they were also still practicing the Judaistic religion. So what happens here? These Gentiles, people had no background whatsoever in the scriptures. They were Paul and others went and preached to them, and they accepted the message that he brought. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, right? So what about these Gentiles? Are they to follow the law, to be circumcised and all of this? This is the question that's settled here in this chapter at the first council in Jerusalem. Notice the conflict here. It starts off... let's look back a couple verses here. Paul and Barnabas were coming back from their missionary trip. And it says in verse 26 of chapter 14, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. So they're carrying on the ministry there in Antioch of Syria. This is the headquarters. And doing a great work. And then the beginning of chapter 15, it says, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. And they said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So they're bringing a different message, right, than what Paul and Barnabas had been preaching to them. The freedom that we have in Christ, that all we need to do is place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for us, and we will have everlasting life. So the church here was growing rapidly and everything, and then these other people come in with a different message. And whether you know, it's interesting. I just want to mention this as a sideline. Here in the book of Acts, it sounds like these people were accepted as Christian people, right? Even though they were adding some other things, thinking that this is the way it's supposed to be. You look over in the book of Galatians, and Paul says, let them be accursed, you know, if they preach any other gospel. So anyway, the idea here is, whether these people were just mixed up Christians or whether they were people that were trying to disrupt the work of the Lord, we find that it has to be settled, right? A question that has to be taken care of. This is not something you can brush aside, put under the rug or something and wait. No, no. This is something important that has to be worked out. And so here we find Paul and Barnabas get into this big discussion and dissension, it says, disputation. You can just imagine. You get all these people together, right? And they're very animated about what they believe. And you can just almost see this argument, discussion that's going on here and all the strife and everything else that's coming about. And so they have to get this matter taken care of. And so they finally decide that they should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders and settle the question. So this is the important thing to think about here. A great deal of confusion going on. These people don't know what to believe exactly. Paul and Barnabas are saying one thing, and these Judaizers are saying something else. Oh yes, you believe in Jesus, but you've also got to be circumcised. You've got to follow the law and all of that. And so they have to work this out. And the best thing to do is to go to the original apostles and the others who are leading the church there in Jerusalem. So church at Antioch is going to support them on this. It says in verse 3, they brought them on their way. They provided for them so that they could go up to Jerusalem and get this settled. And so they go, and as they go, they pass through all these other places where the people have churches, Phoenicia, Samaria, and different places where the gospel has been preached, and tell them about how the Gentiles have come to Christ. And everyone is rejoicing. Great joy, it says, it brought to the brethren. You know, that does bring joy, doesn't it? Think about that. When people come to Christ, they are saved by the grace of God. Doesn't that bring joy to your heart? My goodness, it's wonderful. I was just reading the missionary over in New Jersey there that works with the military. He's talking about two people just recently received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. How wonderful that is. It just encourages all the other believers to see souls come to Christ. And we are praying that more and more people will turn to the Lord and put their faith and trust in Him. So here we find them. They go up to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem. They're received by the church. and they declare to the Lord, declare to all of them what God has done. And it's all the work of the Lord. You know, that's the wonderful thing, isn't it? It's God who does it. It's not the people. It's not we as his servants are just doing his bidding, right? And he is the one that has to do the work. And this is what Paul and Barnabas are saying here to them. So they are there just rejoicing and telling about the work that has been done. And then it says again in verse 5, but, you know, we see that word a lot in the scriptures, don't we? But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. That says they believed, right? So perhaps they were true Christians. But they were just not quite sure about all this. It's all new. And they need to get it worked out. And so they said, no, you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. So they're all considering this. And you notice as we look through the book of Acts, you have to be honest about it. Realize that it all started with the Jewish people. And it's hard for them to get this straightened out, right? I mean, we have to give them credit for that. They worked at it. And God gave them the answer that they needed. So here we find they're coming up. And there's several people that speak up at this conference. And the first one, of course, is who? Who's the one that always speaks up first? We find him here. The Apostle Peter, right? Here he's going to give his testimony, and rightly so. He mentions in verse 7, he says, God has used me to be the first one to reach the Gentiles. You remember back in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, the Roman centurion, you remember, God spoke to him and told him to send for Peter, and he would tell him the way to be converted, to be saved, to have eternal life. And so Peter went and he reached them. God used him to spread the gospel in this way. That's interesting because Peter, you know, was one of the apostles to the Jews, right? And you remember he had a little trouble figuring out what God was doing about the animals coming down from the sky in the sheet and all of that, you remember? And but finally, he obeyed God and he went, he preached the gospel, and these people were converted. The Holy Spirit came upon them just like he had done to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. And so we see here the Lord is moving mightily among these Gentile people. And Peter says, these were the first ones that came. We had doubts at first. You know, we didn't know if we should go into their home. It was against the law. And yet we went and preached the gospel to them. And here, this is very important, so listen carefully. It says, God who, in verse 8, who knows their hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Faith. See, this is what it's all about, isn't it? By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here we have the way of salvation clearly mentioned. Verse 10. Now therefore, here's the question. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Well, that's quite an admission, isn't it? He says, you know, we've never been able to keep the law. You know? And even though we've tried, you know, we've tried to live as best we possibly can following the scriptures, we've never been able to be successful. It's a yoke upon us, a burden. And he says, neither our fathers nor we could do this. And this is verse 11. This is wonderful. Mark this verse in your Bible. It says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. He doesn't say that these Gentiles will be saved like we are. He says, no, we will be saved like they are. You get the difference? Because they hadn't done anything. They weren't circumcised. They weren't keeping the law. They weren't doing anything else. They had just accepted Christ. Right? And he says, that's the way you have to do it. You can't add anything to it. Right? There's nothing else to add. Now, we believe after a person is saved and the scripture bears it out, you're supposed to be baptized, right? Jesus said that in the Great Commission, be baptized after you believe, and then live righteously and all of that. That's part of the Christian life. But salvation comes through our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and through nothing else. That's it. Saved by grace and through faith in Christ. So this is Peter's testimony. And then verse 12 says, then all the multitude kept silence and listening. And Barnabas and Paul got up and told their side of the story. Now over, you know, Paul was talking about this area where they had been to Galatia and all that. And here I had something in Galatians where he's talking to these people about the work there. I just want to share this with you. In chapter 3, verse 1 of Galatians, Paul is talking to these people and explaining to them their problem. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only will I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect and by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So this is what Paul is standing up for, the fact that these believers have been deceived into thinking they had to do something to add to what Christ had already done. You see, he says you're being foolish. And Jesus has already paid the price for your sin. And here he's telling all this, declaring all that God has done among the Gentiles. As they traveled about, you remember what, 3 years on that first missionary journey that they took throughout Galatia and all that area where these people lived. And so he comes on down and he says, this is what God has done. And then we find James, the Lord's brother, the one who was the chief pastor, I guess you would say, or the leader of the Jerusalem church. He speaks up here beginning in verse 13. He answered and said, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon Peter has declared how God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So this is God's plan, right? For this day in which we live, God is working among the nations to take out of them a people for his name. We know that, unfortunately, everyone is not going to accept the message. Everyone is not going to be saved. But there are those that God is drawing to himself, and they will put their faith and trust in him. He's visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this is what the Old Testament agrees to. It says in the book of Amos, this scripture that we see here, how that God is going to deal with Israel up to a point, and then it's going to be they're going to stop. Speaks about the tabernacle is going to be tabernacle of David will be fallen down, and it says, "I will build again the ruins thereof afterwards." But then in verse 17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, who does all these things. So here we have God is saying that even in the Old Testament, in the book of Amos, he talks there about how God is going to work among the Gentiles and bring many of them to himself. So it's nothing new. This has been in the plan of God all along. It's just had to be worked out step by step. So this is part of the plan of God. Now James goes on to make his and the council's proclamation as to what to do. Verse 19, he says, "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them who from among the Gentiles are turned to God." He says we shouldn't burden them down with all of these things that we've had trouble with ourselves, but that we write unto them. It's only a few things he said for them not to do, and this was simply in order to not be offensive to the Jewish believers, you see, or to Jewish people, the pollution of idols, fornication, things strangled, and from blood. Of course, fornication is wrong anyway. But all these other things, he says, this is the only thing that we would ask them not to do. We don't need to follow after the rules and the regulations of Judaism, says in verse 21. For Moses has in every city those that preach him every Sabbath day, right? And so they don't need to follow after the law that was designed specifically for the Jewish people, right? Now there are principles, of course, in the law that we follow, you know. You don't go around killing people or robbing banks and things like that. I mean, that's, you know. But the ceremonial law and all the rest, we don't follow after that. And he says here, it's no need to. We are to follow the teachings of the scriptures and that tell us that our salvation is in Christ and in him alone. In Christ, right? And we find that in the Word of God, and he teaches us all of this. So this is the final solution here. He wrote letters, he says, to them, and they are going to take them back with them. The apostles and elders, brethren, send greetings to all the Gentile churches. And he says, you don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to keep the law. It seems good to us to send chosen men to you with Barnabas and Paul. So they sent these other two men, Judas and Silas, who would teach the people how they could know the truth and not be confused by these other teachers coming in. Notice he says that here in verse 24. We have heard that certain went out from us and have troubled you, telling you that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. He says, that didn't come from us. This is not what God wants you to do. You are to live, you are to accept Christ as your Savior, live righteously, and you don't have to follow after all these rules and regulation. So this is the final solution that he comes up with here. He just asks them to not do a few things just in order to not be offensive. You know, we're not supposed to offend other people, are we? As much as possible, if we can avoid that. But nothing is to be added to the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saves us when we put our faith and trust in Him. That's the teaching of the Scriptures, all through the Scriptures that we see. And we don't need to add anything else to that. So we find here then, they go back to Antioch with this good news. And verse 30, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. So they're all happy, right? They find out that this problem has been settled, and that there's the confusion is gone. It's terrible when you don't know what to do, right? Confusion all around. You just wonder, well, what is the right thing to do? And so now the apostles and the elders, those that were led by the Holy Spirit of God, have come up with a solution. No, you don't have to keep the law. No, you don't have to be circumcised. You just need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He takes over, right? That's the wonderful thing. You say, well, you know, if you don't have rules and regulations, people do all kinds of things, right? Yeah. The Holy Spirit of God comes into your life, and He will guide you and lead you and direct you. All you have to do is surrender to Him, right? He will guide you, and God will lead you into a holy and righteous life. There's no excuse for living in sin, because certainly Jesus saved us what? From our sins, not in our sins, so we can continue on, right? And He changes us. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's the point, right? When a person truly believes in Jesus, they're changed. You know, if a person's not changed, you know, if he's not changed at all, what happened? Nothing. You know, we need to make sure that there is a change in your life, not that that just saves you now. That's going, you know, adding things on to the Scriptures. I don't want to do that. But I do believe that if a person accepts Jesus as their Savior, there will be a change in their life. Their whole outlook on things will change. So the work of God is continuing on here in a mighty way. We see they're all excited now and united together and ready to go forth with the gospel. And as I said before, you remember Paul and Barnabas go to the primary cities and preach the gospel, and then they send the people out to the other little towns and villages and so forth, and they are able to reach the whole area. And so this is what God is doing through this church. And this is the way it should be with the church today, that we can spread the gospel to all those all around us, and each one of us can be the witnesses that we should be. And so then we find here Silas decides to stay on there in Antioch along with the others, and he's going to be going out on the next missionary trip with the Apostle Paul, right? Barnabas is going to take Mark, and he's going to take Paul. We'll see about that a little bit later. So praise the Lord for His marvelous grace. It's able to save all those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Aren't you glad this matter was settled way back here, and we're not burdened with trying to please God by, you know, all these rules and regulations. We don't need to add anything else to what the Scripture says. We are accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I like this song. It says, free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace has redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross. The burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Praise the Lord. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. Watch over us and keep us in your care and lead us by your Holy Spirit. Help us that we might be good witnesses for you to the ones that we come in contact with. Lord, we just ask you to help us and guide us. Show us your will and help us to be faithful and follow you. We just thank you so much for the salvation we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.